You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
I've got some church bloopers here today. Now, I may not make you through these because these are pretty funny. And they better be now since I said that. These are church bulletin bloopers, okay? These are things that are in church bulletins. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a good chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Another one in a bulletin. Smile at someone who is hard to love. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. Operative word would have been hello there for those of you that are coming that were chewing during that or something. Here's another one. The peacemaking meeting. They're still getting it over here. All right. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. Oh my goodness. Next Thursday, there will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. Now listen close. You have to see some of these to really get them. The agenda was adopted. The minutes were approved. The financial secretary gave a grief report. Barbara C. remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. Awesome. There you go. The over 60s choir will be disbanded for the summer with the thanks of the entire church. Now hold on. Don't have any food in your mouth when I read this one. I'll try. Missionary from Africa speaking at Calvary Memorial Church in Racine. Name Bertha Belch. Announcement. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. Oh, man. Oh, these are terrible. Miss Charlene Mason saying, I will not pass this way again, giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. And the last one, this is a very thought-provoking one. Announcement in a church bulletin for a national prayer and fasting conference. Okay? And here's what it says. The cost for attending the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Some of you are like, what? All right, the title of today's message is Your Cheating Heart. Now, this is going to be, well, I won't dive in this fast. There's a song by Hank Williams, and I'm going to give you a little, called Your Cheating Heart. Some of you know that. Let's sing it together. Your cheating heart will make you weep. There we go. All right, here's Billie Jean Williams Horton. Hank and I became engaged in Nashville, Tennessee. This was early in summer 1952. Hank started telling me about his problems with his ex-wife, Audrey. He said that one day her cheating heart would pay. That's what he said to her. Then he said, hey, that'd make a good song. Get out my tablet. Baby, you and me are going to write a song. Just about as fast as I could write, Hank quoted the words to me in a matter of minutes. And here are the words. Boy, you don't want to have a guy like Hank Williams writing a song about your girls. This is not what you want. Your cheating heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep, but sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you. When tears come down like falling rain, you'll toss around and call my name. You'll walk the floor the way I do. Your cheating heart will tell on you. Your cheating heart will pine someday and crave the love you threw away. The time will come when you'll be blue. Your cheating heart will tell on you. Yay. Who is yaying out there now? I'm not going to. All right, now here's my question. And we're going from some laughter, and we're going to dive into this. And I don't want hands up. I don't even want, you know, you might all just look up so there's no response. But this is a very serious question. Have you ever cheated on your husband or wife? Told you'd get serious pretty quick. Because which one? Thank you so much, Dixie. You know, there is like a band in this room right here. Well, we now have a poster child for this series. All right, now let me tell you how there can be some humor in this. You say, oh, this ought to be good. It is possible in a previous life, and this is what's awesome about this whole God thing. It is possible to come with all your trash, all your past, all your stuff, and come to Jesus and say, you know what? I've screwed this up royally. And I got so much debris, I got so much junk in my past, I've committed every sin there is to commit, and I got nowhere else to go with it but you, and the word is on the street, you can do something about it. So I bring all my stuff, and I'm going to give it to you, and I believe you died for me, that you were buried and raised from the dead, to forgive me of my sin, to give me a clean slate, eternal life and an abundant life between here and heaven. And I talk to people every week, if not every day, who've got just that story. Now, I'm not saying you have to be terrible, terrible to come to Jesus, but if you've ever sinned, you got to come to Him like anybody else anyway. The good news, guys, is that you can get forgiveness if you've ever cheated. But if you have ever cheated or been cheated on, and it's tough on both sides, if you have a husband or a wife who's been unfaithful to you, people say, well, it's only about marriage. No, it's not. What's so screwy about relationships, when people date, live together, sleep together out of marriage, is you think, well, we're not married, but there's some kind of commitment there. Even if you rule God out of the deal, there's still some involvement, and people get hurt in those situations. And if someone is sexually involved with another human being and that person cheats on them with someone else, I mean, it's all convoluted anyway at that point. But man, that just shatters the trust for that person, but sometimes for men and women in general. And if a man's ever been hurt by a woman who's done this, or a woman's ever been hurt by a man who's done this, you sit down and talk to women who have been married or dated someone who cheated on them, whatever that means, however extreme it was, their trust levels are not very high. And they may divorce that man, remarry someone else, may stay married. And by the way, there's nowhere in Scripture that says if someone cheats on you, you have to divorce them. Everybody understand that? It is not in Scripture. It says you can, but it does not say you have to. It is possible, and I know couples who survive these things, who are married, someone cheats on the other, and they survive it. The trust is rebuilt, the relationship is restored. I'm not saying it's not tough, but it can be done. Now, if you're one of these people who has experienced this, been on either end of this thing, it's devastating. You see, the devil is a master at this. The devil will set somebody up down the street, a neighbor, a coworker, an old girlfriend, somebody run into it at the grocery store, whatever it is, and boy, you start running with it. And you think, this is it, and I got all these problems. I got this house payment with this person. I got this car payment. I got these kids. I got all this stuff. I just need some relief. And just one day, somewhere, just to be have some quiet, some pleasure, a little fantasy, and that'll fix it all. And it is like a hammer. And the devil says, right, and you don't see it come and drop on you, and you get in the middle of that situation, and the second you have your fun, it just, bam, lands on you. And the feelings and the guilt and the shame and realizing what you've done, it just starts to spin. It is devastating. I was going to catch somebody and say, how many of you don't know what that feels like? You know what I... Yeah. See, now, if I were a mean speaker, I could nail some of you guys right there. But you know what that pain, I'm just giving this in the middle of this. Jesus has an answer for that pain. And you may lose your husband, you may lose your wife. Sin has consequence, but there is forgiveness. There is life after sin. And some of you need to hear that, because you've done some stuff you think is beyond the hand reach of God. You're outside the grace of God, and whatever you get, you believe you deserve. There are consequences to sin, but there is still grace provided if you have sin and when you do sin. All right, I'm going to read you some verses out of here, out of this book, that deal with this cheating thing, and then we're going to take a little bit different spin at the end in a second. Job in 31:1 said this, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Job said, I have made a covenant. I've made a deal with my eyes. Now, guys, these things start, and men and women too. This is Job, but this is for women too. And usually men are worse about this with the eyes. They get, you know, men are more visually oriented. Women are more touch oriented than men a lot of times. But men can just get distracted. You know, they don't even care who the woman is. They can just see somebody and boom, they can be involved in their mind. Job says, I made a deal with my eyes. I'm not even going to look at her. And if you've ever tried this, I did a deal a few years ago, did it for a couple of years, called Hits, Runs, and Errors, Locker Room Talk from a Christian Perspective out at the ballpark in Arlington. And it's a men's deal. We may do it again sometime, but it's hits where men are tempted sexually, runs, how do you escape when you're hit, and errors, what do you do if you've screwed up? And it's three deals. It's only for men. We don't even let women near the building because it's just, it's very cut to the chase. But hits, runs, and errors. And I did an experiment one year with these guys, and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. On the hits especially, where you're tempted. I said, because we go 3 hours at the ballpark in their theater, we do this seminar, then we go sit in the ball game and watch the ball game. I said, here's what I want you to do. When you leave this, our meeting, the second you walk out these doors, like having a clicker in your hand, I want you to count how many times you get hit. You go out in the stands, you know, some cute babe comes down the, it's biblical, babe's in the Bible. Somebody walks by, you know, your eyes, I'm telling you, your eyes just, you get hit. And some of these guys miss the whole ball game. But it's just this constant barrage. And for women, it can be the same thing. It can be very distracting. So Job says, I just made a deal with my eyes. I'm not even going to look on. You say, well, then you can't look at women. No, it's how you look at women. It's what you're looking at women for. And I may have shared this before. If we all got up and walked across the street to the Dallas Museum of Art and we walked through, we had a tour and Rembrandt or whatever, and we all appreciated the art, went back to work, we'd be fine. But if some of you started looking at the art, you know, you see a beautiful painting or something, and then you start looking at the alarm system, then you start looking at the guards, and you ask the guy, what time do y'all close? And you're trying to figure out a way to steal the painting, you're in trouble. It's one thing to notice a beautiful piece of work. It's another thing to want to take it home and own it. And has everybody got my drift so far? Good, I don't have to use any more biblical terminology. Proverbs 6:25, and there's some great stuff in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 in these chapters, but Proverbs 6:25, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Women and eyelids, you know, this is very specific, that batten thing, whatever it is. And there are women who work that thing too, by the way. Proverbs 6:32, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. That's to say the least. He who does so destroys his own soul. You know, there really are very few things that'll destroy you like adultery. You know, there's almost a part of me, and I know some of the people in this room who have experienced this. And there's a part of me that would almost say, come up and share what the devastation is. That you've been on either side of this, either had an affair with someone outside of your marriage or you're single, you have an affair with, I mean, how many people I talk to that are sleeping with a married man or woman? It's unbelievable. And you say, well, why do you talk so much about sex and all this stuff? Because it's going on. I promise you, whether you don't have to leave this room, number one. There's some stuff going on in this room and people listening to this tape. It's going on. You go back to your office. I mean, you're supposedly people curious about God or searching. You go back to your office, but this is rampant. And whether it's sleeping with people in the office or people outside, people are involved in all kind of subterranean stuff. Just it goes on and sometimes you never know about it. But they're hurting because the consequences start to pile up. And the fear and the lying and the cheating and all this stuff starts to accumulate and they got nowhere to turn. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Then Jesus, if it weren't enough what the Old Testament says, comes along in Matthew 5 in verse 27, and he says, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit the act of adultery. That's tough enough for some people to comply with. Then he said, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now some of these idiots out here go, well, I've already done it in my heart. I might as well just close the deal, you know. I've already committed adultery inside, so I'm going to follow through with this. That's not the point. He's saying it happens in here before it ever gets out there. And now I'm going to ask you the question again. How many of you have cheated on your husband or wife? Now, there's a new definition. Because there are a lot of religious people who go, well, I've been faithful to my wife since we were married. I'm like, okay, so you've never physically slept with another human being. But let's go in that heart of yours or mine and say, have you never looked upon another man, never looked upon another woman, and took it beyond the museum? Now it's another category. Now, guys, listen really close, because this to me is the difference in religion and having a relationship with God and with His people and with people around you. Enough already of keeping the rules. You can check off your little list and say, you know, I haven't committed adultery with anybody. But in your heart, you're as dark and sinful and wicked as anybody who does, if not more so, maybe. But because you haven't committed the act of adultery with another person, you think you're off the hook. Jesus says, not a chance. He goes beyond just what you do and say to what you think and feel and what's going on the inside. And religion has a way of acting right on the outside and being wrong on the inside. And when you're right with God, it starts from the inside and works out. And the Bible talks about a pure heart and being holy, not for other people to see, but for God to see and you to see. So you can fool me, I can fool you, but I can't fool God. I might fool me a little bit. I can deceive myself and justify things, but God's not deceived. He's not mocked. And whatever you sow, that you'll reap. And people don't like this stuff because it causes you to take it from just the outside and now examine your heart and say, God, search me, try me, know my thoughts, you know my heart. See if there's any wicked way, not just around me, but in me. He said, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And then he goes on and it says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It's more profitable for you that one of your members, your physical members of your body, would die or be lost and your whole body be cast into hell. And he talks about doing the same thing with your hand if it offends you and goes on to discuss this. Let me read you another one in James 1:12. We got a few more seconds here. James 1 verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted. Now, if you're tempted, don't say, oh, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, he says, my beloved brethren. Sin, the temptation, you bite the hook, it results in death. Physical death sometimes, spiritual separation, that's death in other cases. It's not good. You bite, the devil dangles that hook, you bite it, you're in trouble. And I can line people up here and I can be the first one in the line to tell you the consequences, person after person that I deal with that dabble in these things thinking it's no big deal. And the average person in this room does not just walk out one day, go hire some hooker on some street, and end up in a hotel room. It's slow degeneration. It's a little bit here. Next thing you know, you're doing something you did, you know, it's a little bit more, and it's a little bit more, you know, it's more flirtatious. Now you're going to lunch with somebody for the not business reasons, the wrong reasons. You're looking at them and working those eyes. And, you know, before you know it, you're in somebody's arms. And before you know it, you're in some hotel room. Before you know it, you've lost your family. And you wake up and go, how did this happen to me? God, why are you doing this to me? That's the one I always love to hear. Like God did something to you. You made decisions. I had a guy call me this week. He's been involved with some girl, and he says, I got to tell somebody. I highly recommend telling somebody. You know what? That'll pop the bubble really quick and let someone else encourage you and give some accountability. Now, if the Matthew one wasn't enough, let me read you over in James 4:4. These are some of the strongest words in the book. Where do wars and fights... James 4, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. And he uses two words in verse 4, James 4:4. Adulterers and adulteresses. And there's no sexual connotation here. God says, basically, you're cheating on me. You see, the Bible describes the church, at least, as the bride of Christ. Now, I've heard too many horror stories on this one about engagement parties, you know, some girl getting in the wrong place with some guy the night before. More often than not, it's the guy at some bachelor party and a stripper shows up, whatever, and some guy sleeps with some complete stranger. That doesn't go over well with brides-to-be the night before the wedding, I can tell you that. And it is the night before the wedding right now. And we are His bride, and He calls us adulterers and adulteresses because in our hearts we are saying we're committed to Him, but what we do with our lives is something completely different. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I don't like the thought of being called God's enemy. But when you love the world, you make yourself an adulterer, an adulteress in a spiritual sense. So now I ask you the third time. Have you cheated on anybody, including God? Are you doing it today? You see, you can check off your religious list and say, I'm a good person, but your heart be sick and evil. And you really love the world more than you love God. You really love pleasure more than you love God. And it's not working. Religion doesn't work when that's all there is to it. But when you have a personal relationship with the God of the universe and you go before Him, you say, God, I don't want to love anything, anybody more than I love You. And I want to be faithful to You because I know how important that is in earthly relationships and I see the damage it does between you and me. The best thing, one of the best things I tell people who go through this stuff, they've been cheated on, especially those who've been cheated on. I got one relationship in my life where He will never leave me. He'll never cheat on me. He will always be faithful. Whether I'm unfaithful or not, He will always be faithful. And because of His grace and His mercy, He will always take me back, even when I'm unfaithful. And if we confess our sin, the book says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this time we have together and for Your Word. And this is pretty cut to the chase stuff, God. I know that, for me included. And I pray that we would not only search our own hearts, but allow You to do that and not be proud of our outward appearance and our ability to keep a set of rules, but Father, that we would take it where You take it to the heart and see who we are on the inside and make sure we're not whitewashed tombstones like the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious rulers. God, look deep inside of us and let us do whatever it takes to be the people that we're supposed to be and that other people think we are so many times, and to be faithful to one another in relationships that we have, but also, Father, to be faithful to You who have given Your own Son, Your very life, to purchase a place for us in heaven that You offer as a free gift. We thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, that makes eternal and abundant life possible between here and heaven. And I pray that we would be about experiencing that and pointing other people that way. For Christ's sake, their sake, and our sake, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.